Good morning and welcome to an Aloha Friday. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and this is The Conversation. And to my right, as ever, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Most of us don't have particularly happy memories of the food we were served in school.
Would you have an unhappy memory?
Oh, well, actually, I liked some of them, but, cream chip beef and various other dishes that we haven't seen since.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of people going, ew.
Yeah.
Well, for me, going to school, we didn't have a cafeteria. Most of it was just home lunch. But for a lot of kids who do go to the cafeteria, not only for lunch, but for breakfast and often after school snacks, they know this, that, you know, most of the food tastes pretty bland at best. And at worst, it doesn't even make it into their mouths. Now, with so much of the food pre-prepared, it's also tough for kids to learn good eating habits. Unless Chef Greg Christian comes to their school, he's made it his mission to craft school meals in concert with the kids who'll eat them and the kitchen staff who'll make them from scratch using locally sourced food. As part of the Hawaii Farm to School initiative, Chef Greg is working on the pilot program in the Kohala Complex, and the new school menus start on Monday. Chef Greg joins us now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
How did you transition from being a chef in restaurants and doing catering to wanting to move into school food?
That's a great question. First, it's an honor to be on your show today. Thanks for having me. I was your typical chef, you know, making food and trying to make fancy food in Chicago. And then my youngest daughter was really sick, and the doctors couldn't help her. And we started feeding her all organic food because we were kind of desperate to try to figure out how to get her healthy. And she got better. And then I realized over time that I didn't just care about what my two kids eat for lunch, because we sent them to school with fabulous scratch-made food that, you know, we made. And then I just realized I cared what all kids ate in school. I can't really explain why I care, but it just happened and kind of took over. So I transitioned out of fancy food and started to figure out how to solve the puzzle, you know, in school food. It's a complicated puzzle because the budget's so tight. So how do you do better food in a tight budget with staff that aren't necessarily totally experienced cooks? Some are, but a lot of them aren't. So how do you do it? And so I just kind of jumped in.
You were selected, you and your organization was selected last year to be part of the pilot program and to basically create a whole new way of creating food for kids, and you do that in concert with the kids. What did you do when you sat down with them? What did they tell you?
Well, first of all, they're very... I work all over North America, and here the kids ended up being, like, really quiet, which I didn't really know. I'd never been to Hawaii, so I didn't realize that. So what I started to do was I worked with the ladies, and it's all lady women in this particular cafeteria, and I said, what do you think the kids want to eat? Because you're from here. All the women here went to this school. Their kids went to this school. Their grandchildren are all in the school. So it's a tiny community, and everybody knows each other. And they told me what they think the kids would want to eat. So I said, okay, let's make that food. And so they showed me, I didn't know how to make lau lau, and I didn't know how to make kalua pork and cabbage. So they showed me, and so we made it together. And then I brought it with the head of food service here, Priscilla, to the kids and fed it to them and said, is this something you'd like? And no one said anything, you know, almost no one. They just kind of stared at me like, who's this new person, and we're not going to talk to him, or whatever was going through their mind. So then somebody smarter than me said, well, let's give them a survey that they can write on. And then I started to hear all about what they thought about the samples we served and what they wanted to see.
And what did they tell you?
I would tell them that they're the customer. I would say it like 7-8 times in my 10-minute meeting with them. And I would go to classrooms to get them in the cafeteria. They're with a lot of people, and they're going to stay quiet, or you know, they feel a little safer in the classroom. So I would do 10-minute sampling in the classroom. They would write what they thought, and then that's when I learned what the customer, which are the kids, like really want.
And what did they tell you when you got those surveys back?
Well, they were like they serve pizza here, and everyone here was doing the best they can to make the best pizza they could make, right? And I said, well, let me help you. Let's see. And so the kids said, we want pizza, but we want it better than the one we have. So I went to the ladies. I said, is it okay if I help you make it better? They said yes. So then we changed the crust with all the same ingredients. We changed the sauce. You know, we went from buying pizza sauce to making it. And we, you know, we're going to try grating our own cheese instead of buying grated cheese. So little things. And then I went back and fed it to them. And I said, is this what you mean? And now they're talking. And they're like, you know, it's good, but we really want more sauce. And we really want less cheese or whatever they said. I can't remember. And so then we went back and made it again. And we brought it back. So things like that. You know, we made them a chicken adobo sandwich. And, you know, with a green papaya slaw. Like, is this edible? Do you want it? Can we make it better? If we serve it, will you buy it? And so they said a lot. You know, they wanted the lao lao. They wanted a lot of the food. Like, they want chicken fingers, right? And they want hamburgers. And they just want them to be better. And so can you make them better?
Right. Like, so, I mean, kid food that is appealing and appetizing, I mean, appealing to the eye as well as appetizing to taste buds, especially with kids who can be really picky or because, you know, they don't like the food, will be very predisposed to just tossing it in the trash. And there's so much waste. And when you think about how much milk gets wasted on an average day, how is it that you were able to work with them to understand, too, about eating their food because it was good and locally sourced and foods that they were familiar with but tasted better, but also to understand that, you know, the food's meant to be eaten?
Yeah, people, you know, I'm just the next piece of the puzzle in this state. There's been people working for 10 years, you know, Nancy Redfeather, all, you know, the Kohala Center, Ulupono, all kinds of great, smart people trying to improve the food and get kids to eat it. And so there's a fabulous garden here in the grammar school and in the high school that's been going for years. So what I'm doing is I'm just trying to work with all those different narratives that have already happened and are continuing to happen and converge them into the cafeteria.
And does that include working with local farmers and those who have been asked to participate in this so that, you know, they can have a dependable source of income? They know what a school is going to need on an average day, and also connecting the kids to the farms where the stuff is all coming from.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. We have local food. We go live Monday in this model. And so we have some local food here that we bought through a distributor. We're trying to buy as much. We're going to buy a lot of local food here and track exactly how much dollars spent on it. There's some rules, you know, that are set up around food safety. That's, I'm not going to say limiting our ability to buy local, but you know, we're trying to work in the current system to buy as much local food as we can.
And not have it cost any more.
The thing that people don't realize, so yeah, to answer your question, there's a lot of narratives to converge, right? So we're standing on the shoulders of giants that have been working on this for over 10 years. Giants, Kohala Center, you know, just, I mean, I can just keep name dropping the Dorrance family, right?
Well, we've got to go pretty soon, so don't name drop anymore.
Good. I'm done. So, we're working on converging all the narratives. But it's most important that the ladies in the cafeteria can make the food and that the kids eat it. And then as that's happening, we'll head more and more to local food.
Okay, so tell me, what's Monday's menu?
Monday, you know, I don't have it in front of me, and I should have it in front of me, but I can tell you that Thursday we're doing this chicken adobo slider that I'm so excited about. Monday we're doing quesadillas with roasted tomato salsa. All homemade.
If I were closer, I'd come to you for lunch. But for the moment, I've got to say goodbye.
It's an honor. Thanks so much for putting this project in front of people.
And thanks for all of your good work and for joining us this morning. Greg Christian was once dubbed the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Chicago's sustainability movement by a Chicago journalist. He's a chef, consultant, and author who has been helping to transform food service with his team Beyond Green Sustainable Food Partners. The school meals developed with the kids and the kitchen staff in the Kohala Complex for the Farm to School Initiative's pilot program start on Monday.